Birmingham podcast. Today we are talking about a very controversial topic. New guests, should we take them still or should we not?
So I find it interesting that we found two really cool posts today going for our industry, basically saying the one post that you found. What did it say?
I found one on Harebrained Official. It's, have you ever stopped taking new clients?
Which is super interesting. And then I found kind of the reverse to that on Behind the Chair that says you should always be accepting new clients. Yep. So let's dive into this and see the thought processes behind both of them.
Okay. It seems there's like a lot of different perspectives on this topic, which I can kind of see both sides of it. But one person said, I haven't taken new clients in 5 years. I continue to raise my prices and cut my hours each year. So that, like, I kind of get it. Because I can think of the specific individuals that work in our companies, and some of them have had these same people from day one. And it's almost like if you can keep doing the same people that you've always done and continue to raise your prices and know what you're getting, like that's a bit of a luxury, I feel. And then we have, I stopped taking random people. I love taking new clients when it's from my long-term clients who I trust. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, obviously that's always great, having a referral come in that's from someone that you know.
Yeah, there's value behind that because you know, like, that's your people. Like, that's, if you're, they're referring somebody that's, like friends with them, or, you know you're going to get, like, a similar vibe from the person.
100%.
There's a comment that I can really stand behind. I'm always taking new clients. However, I've closed my books to new clients for specific services that I'm trying to phase out of. That's super smart because I think when you're a seasoned stylist and you know what you like to do and you're trying to phase out the services that you don't want to do, that makes sense to me. And I think there's been a couple people in our company that wanted to like turn off certain services because they're maxed out and, you know, they'd rather do, you know, a specific type of service over something. I think it was like haircuts. They wanted to turn off their online booking for haircuts so that they're not getting booked random haircuts and people that aren't involved in getting like luxury services like dimensional color and things like that. So I think that's smart.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the comments I saw, and I find this interesting because it seems like the timing of the year played a part in this. It says, I closed my books to new clients for about a 6 month period last fall when I found myself with a long wait list and feeling extremely burnt out. After the holiday rush and settling into a new year, I felt like I had enough of a break and felt the time was right to take new clients again, as well as raise my prices. I feel great about my decision to reserve my time for the regulars who have stuck with me over the years, as well as take a little bit of stress off of my shoulders.
Yeah.
So it sounds like she like stopped taking new clients when her demand of time was at its highest, which is usually around the holidays.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of strategic and smart. And then I gave her the opportunity to come back and when it slowed down a little bit, open her books and raise our prices.
Yeah.
So it's like a win-win.
It's interesting because reading through this, it's actually like sparking me a little bit, I guess, like trying, bringing me back behind the chair and talking through how I would be if I were behind the chair taking clients now. And I can totally see the luxury and the positive of knowing what's happening in your schedule. Like that can't go unspoken because when you know your full schedule and I'm like, I have Jane at 9 a.m. and I have Judy at 12 and Anna Maria. For some reason using all these like throwback names.
But, oh, I thought these were really like your clients that you were talking about.
When I got to Judy, I was like, you know what? I'm going to roll with this. Anna Maria and Mary. But anyway, it, like knowing what my schedule looks like, dude, that's a breeze. Like showing up to work that day, I'm like chatting with my apprentice and I'm like, yo, today's going to be good. This is it. When you throw a couple randos in there,
it can really get wild really quick.
But and, in a good way, though.
It can be and it can be. Like, I'm sorry, but I see some of the perspective on why people are like, dude, I don't want any new clients. Like, y'all are a pain in the ass these days. I'm good. I don't need any more of you. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's right because there's so many great people out there that like, it's almost like if you're closing a door and you're a hard no, I'm not taking any new guests, you're missing out on a ton of really great opportunities. But I can also understand if you hit that point where you're like, I'm good. I love everybody that I'm doing. I don't really need any new.
What a great problem to have, though.
You know.
I can just remember, though, like, towards the end of find, like, having new clients. And I would just, like, love when these girls sat down and they were, like, in, like, the same life cycle that I was in. And it was, like, I was talking to them like they were, like, my friends. And I'm, like, yes, like, this is totally my vibe. Like, you'd miss out on all that, too. So I could see both sides.
100%. Yeah, there's definitely, this is a double-edged sword and a heavy one.
Yeah, I do think that is something that is being talked about a lot now, though, where it's like, oh, you need to stop taking new clients. And like, as a business owner, I can never wrap my head around that. I think, like, if you stop taking, if you can't fit new clients in, like, wouldn't that just mean that you need to increase your pricing?
I find this interesting, though. So somebody said that they don't take new clients, but they will only take a new client if it's a referral. So their comment specifically says, I do referrals only at this point. I find that referrals give me long-term clients versus someone who is willing to go to anybody. I've had a couple of clients move recently, so I'll probably do a referral promotion to fill their spots. I recently had someone who wasn't a referral, and they no-showed me, which seemed to be a trend. I don't get no-shows with my clientele, so I don't have a fee in place, and I don't want to have to start. I also don't do online bookings. I'm a 24-year veteran, and I do what works best for me.
All right, so I think that works for someone who's been doing it a really long time and has, like, and maybe you haven't been doing it a really long time, but you have a super controlled book. You're smart with business. You understand how you're operating, you know, your business, and you're doing things with intention. That all makes sense.
Yeah.
For the people out there who may not have that support, they may not have this massive business, they may not have demand the way that this person does, I don't think it's smart to do that. I feel like, I don't know, do you guys see this trend happening in the industry where it's like entitlement, you know?
Well, like, why do we need to label it? Like, if you're that booked and busy, you're organically not taking new clients. Let's just call it what it is.
All right, Lisa. Like, well, tell me your perspective when you go on someone's Instagram handle and all you see are X's. No new clients.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck off. Like, you don't need to, like...
Like, get out of your ass, bro.
Yeah, like, you don't drive a Lamborghini and, like, say that wear a t-shirt that says I drive a Lamborghini. Well, like, it's just, like, if you have a successful book, you're naturally not going to be able to fit in new clients, so... Why do we need to, like, post on social media?
And we're gonna,
like,
get into that.
No longer taking new clients. Cool. No one gives a fuck with you.
No, we're gonna get into that because that's the flip side of what we just found on Instagram. Yeah. But I do think for somebody that isn't taking new clients, and I think it is a good option to say, like, all right, well, I'll take referrals because then I can pick and choose.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to take them or not, you know?
I kind of love the customization factor of what's happening. Yeah. Like, that I will say, I do like that. I like that people are embracing their books and their businesses, and they're creating time where they're spending time with people that they really enjoy, and they're doing things that they like. Like, I'm all for that. I love that.
I also think it could piss people off, too, if, like for me, like, even with my doctor, like, my family doctor that I absolutely love, he's so booked up, he doesn't take any new patients. But when I went in there and I was like, hey, my sister needs a new family doctor, and I have that relationship with him. I've been going to him for years. We have a great relationship. He knows I'm probably one of his best patients. I keep him in business more so than anybody else, I'm sure. But anyway, I would have been so insulted if he was like, no, I can't see her. But he was like, oh, yeah, I'll have my people reach out to her. Like, because he just knew. Like, he loved me as much as I love him, and he was going to take you.
Well, there's that. That's that.
I think
piece
from a client, like, I would be insulted if I went in and was like, "Hey, I would love for you to do my daughter's hair or my sister's hair," and they were like, "No, I'm not taking new clients." I'd be like, "Okay, I'll find someone else."
Yeah, we'll see. I feel like that's like a network thing. Yeah. Like, and here's what I think we need to talk about. It's the fact that we own 3 salons. We have a lot of people that work for us. This is very difficult for us as owners or our front desk team to do.
Yeah.
This is an individual. If you want this, this is stylists doing it for themselves, which, because I'm speaking through this, I love this. I wish everybody in our company did this, but they don't. You know, I wish you were so booked and so busy that everything that you did was kind of customized and we didn't really have to worry about putting Judy or Jane or Mary in
or Anna Marie
to their schedule. And them not being happy about it. Like, it's almost like in a perfect world, sure, this is how it would go, but that's 9 times out of 10, that's not how it goes.
Yeah, what do you mean, though? Like, you wish everyone did what?
Like, I wish everybody had businesses that they were focusing on growing their individual business to target their specific market, whatever it is that is. But for us, like, I feel like we have a lot of people that work for us that aren't targeting a specific market.
I think the major difference here is that these people have a true understanding of what their business is because they can sit there and say those things. Whereas, like, when back to the entitlement thing, you know, you have people that are just starting out in the industry reading these things like, oh, well, should I not be taking new clients?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah, that's definitely a misconception for sure. But I think with our company, like, I don't think we'll ever be there because we're an educating salon. Like, we don't have just all veterans that have been in the business for 25 plus years. I mean, we have younger team members that we're constantly growing.
Yeah.
That are always going to be growing their books. And that's just our salon. But there are salons out there where you walk in there and you look around and every single stylist there has been doing hair for 20 plus years and can be that selective.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder about the Lindsays and the Mias of our companies. And when I say that, I mean, our educators are people that have been in the industry for a really long time. They're 100% pre-booked. They're in full control at this point. But when they have a cancellation, you know, that's an opportunity for the front desk to fill them with a random.
Right.
It doesn't happen most of the time. They're doing it on their own, but I just feel that, you know, I can understand in their perspective at that stage in the game where you're like, you know what, I really don't want random people booking with me. I want more control.
I'm almost wondering, like, if that creates more work on the back end for you, like not taking new guests. But I on the flip side, I also see, like, our software shows us when we have new guests. And our educators, I mean, sometimes they have like 2 or 3 new guests in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's super valuable because, you know, like you said, God forbid you have a cancellation, like, you have more guests to choose from to fill that spot.
True.
I don't know.
True. I'm liking that we're talking
through this. I wonder,
though,
how, like, if we had Lindsay, for instance, sitting here right now, who is booked out so far, and it's hard to get in with her. I would wonder what her perspective would be, though, to be like Lindsay, like, because she's so limited with her, and she has such a relationship with all her people. I'm sure they're all, like, trying to get in with her all the time, and if they can't get in with the front desk, they're probably messaging her. Like, how would she feel if we were like, you have an opening, we're going to give it to a new guest? You know, instead of one of your old clients, how would she feel about it? I think she'd be like upset. I think she'd be like, no way, I don't want the new client. I want to get so-and-so in who's been trying to get in with me.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, to what Alicia's saying, like, it's when you get to that stage in the game, sometimes it's specific services that you don't want to do, you know, like if you're trying to wean out of a service, like, there's so many different variables that come into play, I think.
Yeah.
But I do see the point for sure.
And then going back to what you were saying earlier, when you saw you go on people's Instagrams and you see like no new clients, my first impression is like that could definitely come across very egotistical.
Yeah, like chill.
It only comes off as egotistical. Like, let's be serious here. Stop.
Okay. Like, I could see, like, now accepting new clients. Like, I could see that because maybe you didn't have the schedule availability to fit somebody in, and you want to, like, put that out there, like, hey, like, I have more openings now.
Yeah.
But
all right, well,
or you could put something like booking new clients October 10th.
Right.
You know, like, something like that. But I think the aggressiveness of, like, these exes, like, no new clients, like, it's an egotistical thing for sure.
All right, well, let's get in and see what Behind the Chair has to say when they post it. You should always, and always is in caps, always be taking new clients. So let's see what they have to say about it.
All right, what do you got?
So going to this post on Behind the Chair on Instagram, it says you should always be accepting new clients. They actually start this out with a poll, and they're asking, is that a true statement or is that a false statement? So when you click on it and look at the poll, 54% of the people that participated said that it's true. 46% say false. So I'm actually kind of shocked that those numbers are that close.
Yeah, like, am I, like,
what would you think?
Like, am I?
I say it's true. I think you should always be taking.
I'm feeling like a boomer right
now. What about the new guests?
Yeah, like, seriously, like, that many people think you should
not take new guests?
Yeah,
new clients, whatever they're called. Yeah, but I think that it's because of what we were just talking about with that people want to customize who they take. I don't think, I mean, I can't imagine 46% of hairdressers are saying just no, I don't want any new guests. Like, that I don't think is it. I think it's more about like referrals.
Well, here's a comment, and we actually all know this. Control. We actually all know this stylist. Trent's girls. She says, agreed. I've been in the business 39 years, which I find this interesting coming from someone who's been in the business that long. Closing off your book is not a good idea. In my experience, clients leave for all reasons. They move or they pass away or they just find someone else. There's always room for a new client. And I think that's such a true statement.
Shout out to Tracy.
Go, Tracy.
What's up, David? David.
What's David saying?
David's my man. He says... No, make the choice that's best for you. I don't get all these rules. Neither do I, David. If you don't take new clients, don't complain about being slow. I happen to be semi-retired 20 hours a week after 38 years behind the chair. Don't take new clients. Don't adjust my schedule and consider myself lucky to be busy with a loyal clientele. Love the business. Enjoy the ride and choose the life that you want to live. I'm going to put that on a bumper sticker. Like... But
David, can we have you on our podcast?
Yeah, I think he's got it like right. Like he's not like blasting around that he's not like taking new clients and like there doesn't need to be all these rules around it.
All right, so this one's interesting, guys.
Where do you find him?
Ann.Mahoney.realtor, which I'm questioning. But she has 456 likes on this. And she said, nope. 30 years behind a chair, 55 years old, no more men, no more kids, just my core group of awesome women. I don't need to promote or grow at this point in my life. Haven't taken a new client in a decade.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And I stand behind that. I think if you're, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive this woman has hustled her ass off to create that business for herself behind the chair.
Yep.
So I think that's completely different. In a sense that like, yes, I worked this hard for this. I created this. I don't need to do anything else, you know?
Yes.
And
so somebody commented and said, has your book gotten any lighter? I imagine even if you're amazing and your clients are loyal people, people move, finances change. Do you mean absolutely zero new clients or just very few?
Did she respond?
Good question. I'm curious.
I don't think
to
she
know.
Replied, but
I
maybe she did.
I have a question for her too. So my question is have you raised your prices?
Oh, she answered.
Oh,
she said, honestly, all of my women are cut in color every 4 to 6 weeks. No more men, no money in guys. Sorry, not sorry. And no kids, as much as I adore them. Every client is $100 minimum. Basically, foils add far more, but basic root touch-ups and cuts are 100. And I'm seeing around 6 to 8 people per week over 3 days. No Saturdays either.
Well, shout out to her. And she's a realtor.
Yeah.
So her Saturdays are for selling houses.
Yeah, she's
yeah, I like
well,
it.
Well, I thought this was interesting. Balayage God says always. So always accept new clients. If my demand is too high, my prices go up. Turning away new clients, not good for a business.
Which there's a little bit of truth there too. You know, I think there's like, I think what I'm seeing here is that there's two different strong strategies that are happening. And one of them is, no, I'm not ever turning away new clients because my new clients are willing to pay whatever the hell I want to charge. Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, new clients aren't ever going to give you shit about what you're charging. It's the old clients that get upset as you raise your prices. Mm-hmm. So then you deal with that resistance.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if that one you just were talking about, does she raise her prices? Because if so, she's not accepting any new clients. She's had to lost someone along the way.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm only going based off of her handle, realtor. She's probably getting out at some point.
Yeah,
you
maybe
know,
one
like
foot
she's
after.
She's more so at the end where she's trying to come up with like some sort of exit strategy, and whatever she's doing is working for her. Yeah. So,
well, what are your thoughts on if you are willing to always take new clients, but your demand becomes so high, you raise your prices? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the negative stigma around the new clients because, yes, it is kids. It's people that are visiting. Sometimes it's like crazy people who got fired from a previous salon. Mm-hmm. So, like, I understand the negative stigma around it. However, I think it just goes into like back to working your butt off to create like the clientele that you want to create. And if you're not like putting the work in, then you can't dictate who sits in your chair.
True. Gold. That was gold right there, because I feel like that's the issue here. And like ultimately, like talking through this is cool because we haven't talked about this before, but this is something where I'm finding value and I feel that we're coming across some things. Right. And the things that are happening are basically like, if you're really on and you're operating your business independently and you're not relying on a salon to fill your book in your business, then you definitely have more control of who goes into your schedule, which essentially makes whether you love doing hair or you don't, you know, like if you love coming to work or you don't, like it depends on who you're spending your days with. So I think there's tremendous value to the people who are doing that, who are physically in control of their books and their businesses. And then the opposite, you know, the people who are coming into work, who aren't putting the effort in, who aren't really, you know, pursuing referrals with the people that they, with their clients that they love. They're just kind of like floating and letting the salon feed them whoever they get. Like, you're getting what you get. And that's it. And essentially, like, as a salon owner, like, I'm not going to turn people away. You have availability, I'm booking them. Yeah. You know?
So I guess it's, you could easily say that you're kind of for both.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if I were behind a chair today, I'd have control of my business.
Now, let me ask you this.
Please don't ask like that. I can't take it serious.
So say, say you have this, like, she's not just starting out. She's not like a master at what she does. She does well with her days behind the chair. Let's say she's like 75% booked out for the next, I don't know, 6 weeks. And she comes to you and says, I don't want to take new guests anymore. What would you say to her?
Why? And then I would find out why.
Because I'm hitting all my goals and I don't like cutting kids' hair. I don't like doing randos.
And I don't want to do men's cuts anymore.
Yeah, I'm hitting all my goals, so I don't want to do it anymore.
I think that as a business owner and a salon owner, that decision is going to be a tough one. And I feel that it's likely going to be something where I can't not put paying customers in your schedule based off of you not wanting them. If you are booked and you don't have availability, that's a different conversation. Right. But if you have the availability and we have the customers trying to get in, I would be a stupid business person to not do that.
I think it's key that you just said what you just said, because I think 75% booked, like, you have 25% room and you're, you know, there's no way you're turning away new clients right now.
Hey, listen, if you're at a suite, go for it. I don't give a shit what you're doing. But if you're working in my salon company, you're taking up space. You're essentially, you know, you're working for us to help accommodate the community. I'm not going to tell them no if you have availability. That's simple. That's putting it simple. That could be.
Well, I think tricky. That's important for salon owners to remember also. Like, they are taking up space in the salon and, you know, you might want to, like, just make this person happy because they're a key player in your salon. But if they're taking up the space and turning away people, I think that's a valid point too, that not a lot of salon owners would think about.
Yeah. And also, I think it's important to recognize we're not owners that are going to be bullied. Like, I don't know how to, you know, I'm not going to let somebody sit down and basically tell me what they want to do in that specific scenario.
Right.
I'm going to have empathy. I will talk with you through this. This is something we'll figure out together. But ultimately, I need to make a decision that makes sense for my company.
Oh my God. Yeah. I got bullied last week.
What?
I got bullied last week.
You did?
Yes. I'm thinking about it right now.
What did you do?
Are we going down a rabbit hole right now?
No. This is actually kind of comical. I had one team member come in, just one complaint, that she didn't like the trash cans. So I went and bought new trash cans the next day.
I mean,
that's not bullied. I'm talking about, this is like, that's a request for something that makes sense. We're down.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to these specific scenarios, like, I'm not going to bend to a request that essentially is going to make a change for the entire company. We're talking about three companies, you know, like, I can't, just because you don't want to do this, it's not that easy for me.
Yeah.
It's something that we really have to take into consideration and figure out. It needs to make sense for the business. So, I mean, I think in that scenario, that person may be the type of person that should go to a suite, you know?
Yeah, so I think, like, any stylist that is fully booked, has a wait list, is, like, booked 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 18 weeks out, you have a right to say, I'm going to pick and choose my people at this point.
Yeah.
I think it's smart to never say I'm not taking any new clients. I think the referral program makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Always keep that option open. You might have the best client in the world that comes in and wants to get their brother in.
Yeah.
You're going to tell them no? I mean, they've been loyal to you all these years.
For sure. Some clients are annoyed that they can't take new guests. Like, I know, like, some of them have brought concerns, like, hey, like, I can't take any new guests for 12 weeks. And, like, that, you know, okay, well, then raise your prices and then you can, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of based on their personal preference also.
Yeah, for sure.
It is very interesting, though, the poll being so divided.
Close, yes. You know? That's what's interesting. And I would love to ask every... I wish they would have done a poll where you could tell, like, say yes or no, but then put how many years you've been in the business. Like, maybe I would love to see... Yeah. I would love to see, are they newer stylists that feel that way? Or is it stylists that are just have their game so on point that they can?
So we're curious. We want to know what you think about this.
Yeah.
Are we saying no to new clients? Are we saying yes? Give us all your views. We would love to hear it.
Yeah. And how long you've been in the business.
All right. That's a wrap. We'll catch you on the next one.